All right. Well, tonight we're going to share with you some testimonies live rather than a video. Is that okay? All right. Out of the Fusion guys that are here, is there anyone who would like to share just spontaneously? Graham, come on up, bro. Janine, anyone else? Yeah, I'll share a little bit. All right. Well, maybe space for one or two more. All right. So, if you guys want to come up, you can. Just to say, yeah, in case you didn't know, we've just got back from Singapore, where we went to visit Joseph Prince's church, New Creation Church. They had their highest attendance at Christmas last year. 27,000 people on one Sunday. Well, it was actually Saturday because it's Christmas. 27,000 people. And the nation of Singapore is only 20% Christian. So if you had to do the math, that's a high percentage of those Christians are at New Creation Church. Well, I'd imagine a lot of them weren't saved, kind of searching. And we went over because Corinne and I had the privilege of going up to listen to Joseph Prince in Johannesburg in October 2009. And just from, I guess, if I can be humble enough to say, from my tenacious attitude, I just pushed my way through and found anyone who went to New Creation Church and said, I want to meet with you and talk. So we eventually met with the most Asian-looking people we could find. And we said, hey, are you guys from New Creation Church? They were like, yes, we are. Well, can I get a coffee for you guys? And we sat down and we just got talking. And we told them about how the gospel of grace has so impacted us and how Joseph Prince's ministry has so impacted us. And they started sharing with us what they do for their youth. Turns out that was their youth leadership. And they just inspired us. Corinne and I came away with an inspiration to do something here at Fusion. Here in Highway, and we knew the best way, instead of trying to impart vision from ourselves, the best way for our leadership team to catch it is to go. So we cast a vision saying, all right, we're not going to cast vision of this is what we want Fusion to look like. We're going to cast a vision. We're going to Singapore, and you guys get the vision for Fusion. That's what we did, and it was a year of trusting God. It's amazing what happens when you step out in faith. Because we stepped out, we now have our own CD, and there's more on the way. We ended up preaching at five or six different churches around South Africa because this journey created these opportunities. It's just amazing when you step out in faith, things just open up. And it was perfect. It just, everything worked out perfectly. That we were going to go to a youth conference. The youth conference was cancelled, and it worked out much better because we got personal attention by their youth leadership team and by their staff. Joseph Prince was just casting new vision for the time that we were there, and we were privileged enough to sit in Joseph Prince's meetings. And I tell you, I look back now, and a lot of people ask, so how was it? How was it? And I was just saying to Matt just now, I was saying it was beyond comprehension. It feels surreal. It actually feels like it was a dream. It doesn't feel part of reality. That's our God. Our God blows our minds. Our God goes beyond what we can comprehend. Just don't settle for the ordinary. That's all I'm saying. And so I'm going to leave the rest of the guys to share a little bit. I don't know if you guys want to stand up and come a little bit forward when you share. And one at a time. Go for it, Graham.
Yeah, well, the trip was really, really awesome. We had a lot of fun. For me, I was really interested to see how Joseph Prince's church operated. I mean, they've been preaching grace for quite a few years. So, like, in terms of a time frame, that'd be further down the road than say, we were. So I was interested to see, like, how it impacted the church as a whole. And I think it really, really has. All the people there were exceptionally gracious. They know the word really, really well. Their worship is cool. Everyone in the church is, during worship, I was just having a look around. Everyone in the church is worshiping God intently. They're also hungry. Like Corinne said this morning, some of them get there like 5 o'clock just to queue up so they can get into the main church building. I mean, waking up that early to come to church, that's how passionate they are about God, and that's how passionate they are about receiving the word that Joseph Prince is preaching there. So that was really cool. It was a bit of like an eye opener to see how they operate. But then the most encouraging thing of the whole trip for me was on the last day we met up with a lady called Joanne. She's part of their youth leadership. She works full time at the church, and she said we had made a video of the mission work that we had done in Singapore, just to show at their youth service on the Saturday. So we met her on the Sunday, and she said what a blessing it had been that we had been there and done that stuff, because they don't normally do that there. They don't normally go out onto the streets, and it's actually illegal to stand in public and preach because of their freedom of religion there. So it's quite a setback culture. They don't go out into the streets and just speak to people and just go up to someone and say, hey, like, do you know God loves you or something like that. So for them, seeing the video that we made and seeing what we had done was, it really blessed them. So that was encouraging to know that as blessed as we were going there, we could also be a blessing to some of them. So I'm sure the other guys will tell you some cool stuff.
Just before I just talk about how God just moved my heart, one of the first things I noticed about Singapore upon arriving was how pedantic they are. Land along their highways are perfect little square bushes. I was completely captivated by these things. I just couldn't believe that they maintained their city to the point that they had beautiful square little bushes. But anyway, something that Singapore was really taking a hold of. Sorry. Something Singapore and New Creation Church is really taking a hold of is just a scripture, Psalm 65:11, and it says that I have crowned the year with my goodness, and my paths drip with abundance. And what really took me by that was just the fact that he has already done it, and the year is already crowned with his goodness. And so experiencing this year, we experience everything in his goodness. And just as we are walking in his paths, they drip with abundance. And I'm really claiming that. I'm claiming it for Highway, and I'm claiming it for my own personal self, my relationships, and my family. And I think that if there is anything that I could bring back home to Highway, is that, you know, God is always good, and knowing his goodness helps rise faith in your heart. And just by seeing how good God has been to us, taking us to Singapore, taking us through the process, helping us with finances, just pushing us completely out of our comfort zones, I've just been so touched by his grace and his goodness and his love over my life. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the rest of you touched by what God has for this year, and just for you all to just experience the goodness that he has already crowned over this year. So.
How's it, guys? Sure, this trip, I was just so grateful to be able to go with the guys and just be a part of everything. It really was just such a blessing. The whole thing was just full of God-ordained moments, really. A highlight for the trip, I'd say, was getting the chance to do some street ministry, which I've never done before. I've never just rocked up to someone and just said, do you know God? We didn't do that way, but I was very out of my depths. And we actually were in the red light district of Singapore, where all the prostitutes are and all the laborers from all around the world that are actually working there. Obviously, away from their families, they get up to stuff. And walking on the streets and stuff, we stood in a circle and we just prayed for words of knowledge. So some guys had pictures of, someone with a blue top, and Graham had a picture of like a signboard with blue neon writing, and I had a picture of a girl in a pink top, and she had black hair and a ponytail. And we just set off like that, and I was really out of my depths, I can tell you that. But, you know, God was just so amazing the whole time. We just, Graham and I started walking. I'm like, right, let's look for someone with a pink shirt. And all of a sudden, Graham just disappears. And he's talking to some, like, Muslim guys on the grass. And I'm like, dude, they don't have pink shirts. But anyways, let's just sit down. And we, like, started chatting. And it was really hard because, you know, we were like, do you guys have, like, a pain in your body or anything like that? And he's like, no, when I got pain, I go to hospital. So we're like, no, 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 but God, He heals you. No, but when you got pain, you go to hospital. And we're like, no, 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 no. Do you have a pain right now? And he's like, yeah, I got a bit of pain in my shoulder. And then we like started praying for him. And at the end, he was very confused because the English, you know, we didn't really get through on the same language. But we just left making sure that they understood, you know, that God is love. He's not their boss. He's not there to tell them what to do, but He's actually their Father. And we eventually found ourselves in the middle of the little brothel section by accident, down this dark street with like hundreds of men. And Graham and I were like, well, God's led us here. Let's just start, you know, ministering. So he went off on his roots and he starts speaking in tongues, like hoping that the Holy Spirit will like give him the language of Mandarin or something. It was quite funny. And I just went up to these two girls who were prostitutes, and you know, I wanted to share with them. At first, they thought I was a client, and I was like, "No, I just want to share. I don't want anything from you. I actually want to give you something." And I was just saying, you know, Jesus loves you, God loves you, and they just looked at me like, "What is up with you?" But you know, we just really trusted that there's more than what we can see with our eyes that God actually does, you know, in the spirit. So we left really fired up, and James has got an awesome testimony. I don't know if you're going to share that later. Okay, cool. Alright, I'll just wrap up here because the awesome thing is that God, while I was on this holiday and this trip, okay, I'll call it a holiday because I wore my holiday hat the whole time. You know, God was so good. I got to work and the very first day I had an appointment with a doctor because I'm a rep in the medical field. And while I was talking to this guy, we've got a few big projects at his hospital. I just shared some, yeah, you know, I was in Singapore and he was asking why. And I was like, no, we went over there with our youth. And he's like, oh, okay, you're part of the church. I was like, yes. And he's like, well, what did you do then? I was like, no, we went to Joseph Prince's church. And he was like, Joseph Prince. It's like, I love Joseph Prince. And he's like, look on my wall. All these like prayers and stuff are from Joseph Prince. And he's like, I had a friend who went over there as well. His name was Melville. So we met Melville on the plane on the way there. And it just opened up so much opportunity, you know. He was like, you guys are bidding for the lights here, you know, theater lights. Well, you'd like to show me. You're number three on the list. Let's pray and trust God for favor that you guys are going to get the order. And, you know, I was just amazed. I was like, I was there on holiday and God was working in my work as well. And, you know, it's just such an awesome thing, you know, to see.
Yeah, that one thing that Steve said at the airport before we left, he said, God has some surprises for you. And literally on the plane over to Singapore, Byron, I don't know if Byron's here, Byron Railton sits next to a guy and gets chatting to him. And he says, why are you going to Singapore? He says, no, I'm going to go and invite Joseph Prince to Durban. So we're like, no ways. We have 20 of us trying to do the same thing. So we've got a big army. I mean, that's, so that was, I think they got the message that, a family and another 20 people were coming to Singapore to invite Joseph Prince to Durban. And we said that the Moses Mabhida Stadium is the best stadium in the world. And that will be perfect for Joseph Prince, all right? So you know he wants to preach there, all right? So, yeah, but anyway, the testimony of the Red Light District for me, I was a privileged one. I had a Chinese man with me to do some interpretation. So we went walking around, and I actually saw the neon blue wavy lights, and I knew God wanted to do something. So walked around, couldn't see much, and then we saw a massage parlor, and in the massage parlor was a lady with a pink shirt, black hair, and a ponytail. And we knew God wants to do something. So stepped inside and said, hey, we want to give you a message. We've come here to give you a message. And she was like, what do you want, you know? And these birds, I swear, they're rejoicing with us. Anyway, okay, just focus, like me. Okay, be like me. Don't look at the birds. Don't look at the birds. All right, so I step inside this massage parlor and just start prophesying over this girl. Her boss walks in. He's a Chinese practitioner. And he says, how much do you charge? What do you want from me? He said, no, we don't want anything. Just want to bless you. So I started prophesying over him, and he starts opening up, because the moment you start prophesying the words of God, they just open up because it's accurate, you know? And as we start prophesying, the girl suddenly opens up herself, because when we first walked in, she was very reserved, very closed. And as I started prophesying, she started opening up and was listening very intently. So we said, let's just pray. And as we started praying, God gives me a word of knowledge that she has pain in her left leg. And she was a very healthy girl. She didn't look like she had pain in her left leg. I just had this impulse that she had pain in her left leg. I asked her, do you have pain in her left leg? She says, actually, I have rheumatoid arthritis, and it shoots pain down my left leg. So I was like, whoa, God, you are moving here. So we start off by praying for her feet to see if they are shorter than the other. I've never done this before, by the way. I know a lot of people have seen it, and in churches and Christian circles, you may know that we often pray for people whose legs may be shorter than the other. I've never done it in my life and just failed to do it. Sure enough, her one heel was shorter than the other, and the Chinese doctor is looking at it like, ah, so, nah, yeah. So he's agreeing with us. So we pray, open our eyes, it's straight. Doctor's looking like, you know, whatever he was saying in Mandarin. And God healed her. So now she's excited for her rheumatoid arthritis to go. So I asked her to lay hands on her leg. I didn't want to dishonor her by putting my hands on her leg. I asked her to lay hands on her leg, and just we prayed. She starts feeling heat. She's a Buddhist now. She starts feeling heat and power going. She says in Chinese, she's feeling heat and electricity go through her body, and she starts laughing. And she says, the pain's gone. The pain's gone. So then she says, hey, I also have pain in my arm. I can't move my arm any further than this. See, my right arm, I can do this, but this arm, I can't do anything. So now she sees God and feels God heal her. She just wants full restoration. So we lay hands on her, and she starts moving. Again, she's laughing, feeling heat go through her body. She moves her arms up like this, and she's like, it's amazing. Whatever, it was in all Chinese. Praise God for Joseph, the guy who was with me. It wasn't Joseph Prince. And this girl gets healed right there and then. So the doctor says, I had a stroke 2 years ago. I've got pain. I can't move my right leg properly. When I walk, I have pain. So now God just opened up the whole thing. So we pray, and I asked this guy to pray. He was a real Curry Blake disciple. He was like, your pain, you get lost. You get lost, pain. You get out as man. You don't be there, man. You get lost. So I was like, woo, Lord, this is funny, Lord Jesus. I just love you because you just make things happen in funny ways. The guy walks up and down. We just tried it out, and he's feeling better. We prayed again, and he got healed. We said, do you know who healed you? He said, Jesus healed you. And they were smiling ear to ear. We said, do you want to accept Jesus today? They said, yes. We have experienced Jesus. We want him. Right there and then, we led them in a Mandarin prayer of salvation. Right there, we prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And for me, if you want to know what my highlight was, that was my highlight. That's the grace of God right there. Dina. Oh, come on.
Awesome. Sorry, like, after you hear that, you're like, wow. No. I just want to say, you know, one of the things that really stuck out to me most in that church was when we went into New Creation Church. I can remember a few of the guys went in the morning services, and then a few of us went in the second morning service, because they have to have like four services for all 28,000 people, you know, and obviously also because they had to book seats, and going into that service and you're looking at the huge numbers and like it was just such a large like population of people inside the church building and stuff, and obviously you had the overflow rooms as well, and I was moved, okay, because one of the things that we spoke about was that they actually have a nation under them. You look and it's like a nation worshiping God, and it's like people just hungry and passionate, just they'll do anything to get there, you know, they'll just to get more intimate with Jesus. And And that was one of the really things that one of the really big things that moved me, because a few of us were talking about it, and I must say there was even a bit of skepticism like that had risen up, because we actually said to each other, how do they actually talk on behalf of a few of the guys? How do they maintain intimacy in such a huge church? And it was kind of like, you know, like you have that little family environment, and you know, it was kind of like, whoa, you know, how do they actually handle it? And I think one of the highlights for me was definitely the care groups, like their cell groups, because when I went there, the few of the guys went with me to the cell group I went to. It was me, Jennifer, Jason, and I think Heidi, and it was phenomenal. Never have I experienced such intimacy amongst people before like that. Like and such a loving family. There was just such a strong bond between them. And coming into that, you go to the people in that church, and because of their love and their acceptance that's inside of that church, you walk in there and they just receive you. They're just so receiving. And because of the gospel that they've received that's grown within them, they all have such a servant-like heart. They all have such servant mentalities, and they're just so hungry for God, and they're just so willing to do more. But it's not from a place of I have to do it. It's from a place of like I really want to do it, you know, because that love inside of me is just and it really, it shines through them. And that was really answering that question of intimacy, you know. and obviously we also had a lot of fun on the trip and everything, which it was also really cool and important, because I mean I'd never been overseas before, so it was really cool. And at one stage I can remember when we went over to Sentosa Island, which is like their entertainment island. Janine said I must bring this up. We were actually chilling like in the, it was like a tropical beach, and I think there were some photos this morning. And we were lying in the water, and it's like all still calm water, and we were just like relaxing, and it was so good. And we were just talking about, wow, you know, God is really good. and we were like, wait a minute, you know, maybe we shouldn't just, you know, be lying in the water kind of thing. But that moment, Janine actually reached into the sand while we were talking about God being so good. You know, we were actually like laughing, you know, and she reached into the sand and she pulled out a cross that was made of nails. And it was like, it was quite a big thing. It was about that big. And it was like a proper cross. And at that moment, we just realized, you know, it was just, this is where God wanted us to be, you know. And he made it happen. And he wanted to show how good he was. And being there, experiencing Singapore, experiencing that part of our body, you know, we're all one. Being able to share with our brothers and sisters in Singapore, being able to be under that ministry, being able to just touch down there, you know, by plane, was all due to the goodness of God. And so for me, that was just something that I felt was really, really cool, and I just felt to share that. Awesome.
Awesome, guys. Thanks a lot. You want to give them a hand? 20... I still can't believe that we got 20 people to Singapore. And let me just say, the Fusion guys were amazing. I always said, guys, we're meeting here at this time. If you're not there, I'm phoning the police. Every time I said that, and I don't know if it was that or what, but they were there every time. So, really, you guys were amazing. I'm privileged to have such a bunch of friends around me. I really am. Well, we, just in the last 15 minutes or so, I'm going to ask Corinne to pray for us all at the end of the service, just in what God did for us, releasing a faith in us. And I'm going to ask Corinne to release that over you tonight. You excited for that? Amen. I'd like to share with you just a little bit about faith. It was amazing. Steve shared it this morning. And it just confirmed exactly what God is doing. I just see it. It seems to be those that really are in tune with what God's doing are all preaching this at the moment. And while we were in Singapore, the first thing that Joseph Prince preached was faith. I got on the phone with Jono today, Jono Levine from Umbilo. He's just going on about faith and how God's just been taking him on a journey of understanding faith. It was incredible. And it was the exact thing that I wanted to preach tonight. So I'd just like to share with you very quickly three things about faith that I think are important for us at the outset of 2011. Because I believe God wants to do big things in 2011. And God wants to
take you on a journey that you are going to look back on and go, whoa, God. Just what Matt was saying, those little things inside your heart, the dreams and desires inside your heart, you're going to step out in those things and you're going to look back and go, whoa, God. This is amazing. I actually just the other day caught myself looking back at my life just the last 5 or 6 years and going, wow. Lord, you don't realize it until you look back. Amen? It's just living the dream, living the journey. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews 11. And verse 1 holds a couple of keys about faith that I only ever really saw today, to be honest. God gave me a revelation on the scripture this morning, and then Steve got up and preached what he preached. So it was just awesome to see what he's doing. I think we are moving into significant times. I'm always careful to say the last days because everyone's been saying that for the last 2,000 years. But if you don't live like that the last days, you're going to live a pretty boring life. So why not say that you're living in the last days? But we certainly seem to be living in significant days. Amen? And Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes back, what's the one thing he's going to be looking for? Faith. Will he find faith? God's not interested in anything else but faith. Dare I say, God is not interested in anything else but faith. It's an interesting statement to make because we often associate Christianity with a number of ways to live, how you live, but I would like to propose to you that when your faith is hungry, when your faith is at a level of desperation, knowing who He is, everything else falls into place. Now, let's read in verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I love that. I shared it a couple of weeks ago. The angels in this room are more real than your flesh on your body. They are more real because it says in 2 Corinthians that what is unseen is eternal. What is seen is temporary. So in other words, what is eternal is a lot more real than what is temporary. And so because an angel is unseen, he's a lot more real than what you can see, your flesh and your body. And faith is being certain of what you do not see. So you may not see it with your physical eyes, but I am certain that there are angels in this room right now. And faith releases that. Faith says, I know what's going on here. Now what's interesting is, this is what God opened up for me. Being sure of what we hope for. And if I could title my sermon tonight, even though I don't have a lot of time, it's just going to be more of an encouragement. If I could, it is this. Faith is more than just hope. Faith is higher than hope. Hope knows that God is good. Hope knows that God can heal. Hope knows that God does bring people breakthrough in their businesses, but faith is sure of that hope. Well, I hope, I know He can, but I hope He comes through. I know He can, but I hope He heals me. Peter didn't have hope. Peter had faith. When you step out onto raging waters, you don't hope you stay afloat. There's something inside of you that says, this is it. I am doing this. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't have hope. She had faith. She had more than just hope. Because if she had hope, she wouldn't have taken the risk. If she had hope to say, well, I hope I get healed today, she wouldn't have taken the risk to be seen in public. She had faith. She was sure of what she hoped for. Okay, so faith is more than hope, but how do you have hope? I'm going to ask three questions tonight. What is faith? How can you build faith? And why do I even need faith? Well, firstly, the best definition I can give you of faith is it is the opposite of fear. Faith has been very watered down in our circles. We live in the faith. we walk by faith. And faith has just become, it's a word that we use. But, so we've kind of lost the essence of what faith actually is. But we all know what fear is, right? So if you know what fear is, then just imagine the exact opposite of fear, that's faith. Fear isn't something that you build, alright? Fear is something that just happens to you. Amen? Like right now, I don't have any fear of dying at all. But if a man burst through that door and held an AK-47 to my head, naturally fear would rise. Just human natural instincts, I would be a little afraid. I have no fear right now whatsoever of dying, but because this man is now holding a gun that can end my life to my head, suddenly there's a fear. I've got to have fear right now. I've got to have fear. Oh, I need fear. I've got fear. Okay, I'm scared now. No. Now that might happen because I have so much faith, but natural human instinct is that it just comes to you. Why? Because a truth appeared. A truth appeared and my brain received the truth, processed the truth, and fear naturally was produced. In the same way, faith is not something you can work up. I cannot tell you to have faith. You've got to have faith. You've got to have faith. Because that defeats the object. Then it's the self-works thing of, well, I didn't have enough faith. That's why it didn't come through. Faith is something that naturally rises up inside of you. So, I hope that does answer what faith is. How you get faith is found in Romans 10:17 and linked to this example of how you get fear. Romans 10:17, I'd like you to turn there as well. And Paul is talking about the Israelites who have they have no faith in Christ. They're not even saved. Those that have rejected Christ, those that have rejected Jesus as the Messiah, they're not saved. Paul is desperate for them to get saved. And Paul's now explaining how these people can get saved and how they can have faith. And so he goes through this whole explanation of how they can hear. And then in verse 17, he gives us a key as to how you and I can have faith. In verse 17, he says, consequently, faith comes. It just comes. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message, what is the message? The message is heard through the word of Christ. I want you to take a pen, a highlighter, a laser, whatever you have, holy oil, and just circle Christ. Big circles. The Word of Christ. Not the Bible. The Word of Christ. Because the Bible can produce fear. Galatians says the law is not even based on faith. The Israelites, when they received the law, didn't even need faith anymore. Because the law is a bunch of rules and regulations where I no longer need to trust in faith. I simply need to follow a bunch of steps. Christianity is not a bunch of steps in how you live your life. Christianity is faith. And only the Word of Christ, the Anointed One, the man who was the Son of God, who became flesh, who came, it says in Isaiah chapter 53, to preach liberty to the captives. In fact, that's actually Isaiah 61, I think. He came to preach liberty to the captives, bring freedom to those who are in bondage, and to transform those who had no hope. That's the message of Christ. It's a good news message. It's a gospel message. It's a message that says, I have good news for you. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach good news. I'd like to tell you, friends, if the good news you have heard isn't too good to be true, it's probably not the gospel. The gospel is the best news on the planet. The gospel is the best news in the universe. You can only have faith when you hear that message. And so I'd like to tell you, friends, how you have faith. And this was amazing because the first service we were there, Joseph Prince preached on this, and I sat there, everything in my heart was just exploding. He went through the scriptures. He actually opened with that, Romans 10:17, and he went through the scriptures in the Old Testament of how God said, hear, hear, listen, listen. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to the word. Listen, listen. And that word hearing, faith comes by hearing, is an imperfect tense. Let me give you an example. Is everyone following me? Okay, it's actually more of a teaching tonight. Sorry. This is just so rich in me and I just want to try and deposit it. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished!" on the cross, it was a perfect tense. There was a supernatural, holy, universal full stop on that, "It is finished." Everything that man was required to do was finished in that moment. The Greek is a very unique language. The Greek was a perfect tense. Alright? Hearing, faith comes by hearing, is an imperfect tense. In other words, it's a continual process of hearing. We need to keep hearing the message. And then what happened was Joseph Prince took us on a journey in the scriptures where God would say to people like Abraham, to Joshua, hear the voice of the Lord. And the Hebrew was a double hear. It was hear, hear. The Hebrew word is Shema. Shema, Shema. Not just hear, but hear it again. In other words, hear it again and again and again. Friends, that is how you build faith. I want to tell you, stop listening to the preachers that tell you you need to do more. If you're enjoying the preachers that are telling you to do more and they are telling you you need to jack your life up and you need to sort your life out, I actually want to tell you to stop. You need to be hearing good news preaching. You need to be hearing the good news message. Because it's the good news of the Word of Christ that will produce faith inside of you naturally like a spring. Now, how do you know what those preachers are? You just know in your spirit. You'll know. Whoa, is this making me want to do more? Or is this making me produce praise in my heart? A preach should make you produce praise and go, whoa, Jesus, whoa, you are amazing. That's what a preach should do. Proclaiming good news. If you feel heavy, you got to be careful, friends. And I want to encourage you. You get Rob's messages off our website. You get what Steve's been preaching over the last couple of months about faith, about activating grace. It's amazing. Grace is there 100% for the whole world. Chono. Grace is there. It's there. The whole world has been paid for. Their sins have been paid for. But that grace can be only activated by faith. And we've been preaching grace for months now. And we can't activate it unless we truly have faith. Whoa! This is true, friends. And you need to keep hearing that message. Go and download the sermons. Go and find sermons from the likes of Bill Johnson, Joseph Prince, Rob Rufus. Who else is there? Bertie Britz, Andrew Womack, James Preston, Steve Wheeler, Jimmy Duguid, our elders. Craig Glenn, that's true. I mean, they've been up, those guys have been up on the stage. It's wonderful, Jono, that you're here this evening, actually, because he's from Craig's church. Craig doesn't have an evening service. These are partners with us, these guys, around the city that are partnering in this beautiful message of the glorious gospel. But really, friends, and this is what Joseph Prince was saying, is we need to, this generation of the iPod, God had a plan for the iPod. He did. No, iPod. iPad's just a toy. iPod's real. Sorry for you, if you have an iPad. I'm not looking at anyone right now. Fill your iPod. Get an iPod. They're like so cheap these days. $200, you can get one of those fake ones. Fill fill you up. I will give you sermons. You know, the first thing I did when I met with this guy from the Singapore healing team. Amazing. He's not part of a soul group in New Creation Church anymore because he feels like he wants more power of God stuff, healing stuff. But he still goes to New Creation Church. He said to me he believes that Joseph Prince is the best preacher in the world. He gave me two DVDs packed with Joseph Prince sermons. First thing he did when he saw it, he said, listen to this stuff. Friends, I'll give you DVDs. You come to us, any one of us. You load yourself. You need to keep hearing the word of the gospel, the good news, and that is how you produce faith. You can't produce... If you read the Bible, read it asking, Holy Spirit, show me your goodness. I recognize that you are hidden like my parents hid chocolate Easter eggs in the garden for me. I recognize, Holy Spirit, you have hidden the treasures of your word, and I can only unlock them by your leading, by your grace, by you, Holy Spirit. The disciples knew the scriptures, but they needed Jesus to walk along the road to Emmaus to unlock himself in the scriptures. Before they just thought they were rules and regulations. But they needed Jesus to come and unlock the treasures hidden in them about himself. Friends, we need spirit-inspired reading again. Not just boring. And we wonder why our children don't want to come to church when they get to 16, 17 years anymore. This is the most rich, juiciest book in the world. If only we would take it. And why do I need faith? Well, it is quite simple. God wants, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He paid for every sin of the world so that every man can be in union with him, can be in glorious union with him. And often people question this message of grace. They question they question the message of it's a bless me club, it's about me and how I feel. Well, I want to tell you, friends, that the Westminster Catechism, one of the great ordinances in church history, the number one point is this: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's what we were created for, to be in perfect union with Him once and for all and enjoy Him. Do you know your body was created for pleasure? That's why when you eat a McDonald's or whatever you eat, a Spur, whatever, it's just your body goes, ah. Well, it's true. Do you know that Eden means pleasure? Adam and Eve were created for Eden. Your body was created for pleasure. And David cried out, my heart and my flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your body was created to be in union with God, to experience the pleasures of Him. And just be in absolute bliss, absolute heavenly union with your Creator. And that is why you need faith. Because if you don't have faith, you will never go to some stranger in the middle of a massage parlor and tell them that God loves them. Because there is a world that is desperate. This is a broken world. We need faith. We need faith to reconcile that world to Him. Because Jesus paid too high a price to let them miss out on what we're enjoying. We need faith because this earth needs His peace and His union. It cannot be done by works or requirements. This is what I've realized. My evangelistic witnessing, whatever you want to call it, is not about results any longer. It's just about I hope this person would recognize your love, Father. I long and I ache that this person would know your love. It changes everything. It puts it all on its head, this message of the gospel. Keep hearing it until you can't help but step out. This is what we're entering into this year. Amen? It's a year of faith. It's a year that says, God, I know that you are good, and I don't hope that you are good. I know that you are good. I am certain that you are good, and God, I know that when I step out of this boat, I am going to walk, because nothing else matters in the world to me than seeing your kingdom come here on earth. Nothing else on this planet, nothing else I could do matters to me than just seeing your glorious heavenly kingdom that you paid for invade this planet. That's what I want, Lord. That's why I'm going to keep stepping out in faith. That's why Singapore was just the beginning. That's why there's so many more dreams and desires that we have to disciple an entire nation, and it seems ridiculous and stupid and crazy, but we're going to step out in faith. Because I am sure that you are good, God, and you are behind those who simply believe you. So, babe, my fireball wife, why don't you stand and receive this prayer of faith tonight?
Lord Jesus, I speak to us, spiritual eyes, and I just speak that eyes would be open and ears would be hearing the word of God. I just ask you, Holy Spirit, that as we hear your message, this love that you have for us, I thank you, Lord, that you release and you deposit faith within our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that it's not made up. I thank you, Lord, that it's not by our works. But Jesus, it is because of your goodness that you just deposit and that you give us faith. So I just thank you, Lord, that from this week, from as we go out now, Lord, that faith is deposited in our hearts. And I thank you, Lord, that we hear what you have to say to us this week, Lord. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.